Good evening, Shavua Tov, Purim Sameach.
Had some Hanok.
How are you, Jasmine?
Good, and you?
Baruch Hashem. We're waiting for someone else to come on.
Oh, okay.
Hello.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Purim Sameach. Please join me in saying the Anna Bakar. Another Gedula Chimincha. Shabbatenu kabel, ushma tziakatenu, yodea talubo. Shin kufal, tzadiyuta. We have brought the energy of creation into our space. We'll now separate between the right column energy and the left column energy, utilizing the 13 attributes of mercy. Adonai Yohei Wahei, Adonai Yohei Wahei, El Rachum Vechanun, Erech Apayim, V'Rav Chesed V'Emet, Nosei Chesed L'Alafim, Nosea on wafesha, vechata'a v'nakei. We're now going to read the verses that connect us to the energy of this year, the year of the goat, Tafshin Ayin Zayin, and a few previous years. There are two verses that connect to the year of the goat, the energy of the year of the goat, and the first one that we will read is Lamentations chapter 3, verse 52. Tzod saduni katzipor oyevai hinam. When we take the first letter of these words, we're able to parse it into three Hebrew words, tzatz ki ach, which translates as appear like brothers. When we take the final letters of these words, we're able to permute it into two Hebrew words, dir yam, which spells or translates as a sea of tenets. The second verse that we will read is Joshua chapter 23, verse 8. This verse has the energy of the year of the goat because the name of the year is concealed within the verse. The letters of the name of the verse are separated by seven letters each. Kim ba Adonai Yohewahe Elohechem Tadebaku Kasher Asitem Ad Hayom Hazeh. Now we're going to connect to the year of the pause, the year 5776. And there are two verses that connect to this energy as well. The first of these verses that we will read is 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 34. Raka kohanim ayu limat velo yachlu lehashit et kol ha'olot vayechaskum achechem ha'levim ad kilot hamlacha yad yitkachu ha'kohanim ki ha'levim yishre leval lehitkadesh me ha'kohanim. This verse has 25 words. When we take the first letter of each word, we're able to permute it into eight names of God. Adonai Yohe Wahe La La He Wa 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 Yo La Yo Ala Me Hey 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 Aka A Re Ka Ha. The second verse that we're reading for the year of the pause is Isaiah chapter 26, verse 4. Bidhu ba Adonai Yohewahe Ade ad ki biya Yohe Adonai Yohewahe Tzur olamim. The year 5775, the year that death can be swallowed up forever, there are three verses, and the first verse that we will read is Job chapter 7, verse 19. Kama lo tishe mimeni lo tarpeni ad bili ruki. Next we will read 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 23. Uru udu mikol hamachavoiya asher yitchabe sham v'shavtem elai el nachon v'halati itchem v'chayayim yeshno v'aretz v'chipasti O Tob, call Alfe Yehuda. And the third verse that we are reading is Job chapter 20, verse 7. Kegelo lanetzach Yoved Roav Yom Ruayov. And for the year 5774, the year of peace in the Middle East, there is only one verse that connects to this energy. And that is 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10. Wasamti makom le'ami Yisrael umtati v'shakan tachta v'lo yugas od v'lo yosifu. Bnei Avla La'anoto Kasher Barishona. We're now going to read a verse from the Zohar that connects to the energy of certainty. It comes from Parashah Yitro, Pasuk 29, and we'll start with the L'shem Yehud. L'shem Yehud kud shabarifu ishkinte bidhilu erhimud hilud hilu erhimud le'akta l'shem yud hei bavav hei v'yehuda shalim b'shem kol Yisrael limud Torah mitzvah lasok Torah mitzvah Vayehi Noam Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu Maaseh Yadeinu Konaneh Aleinu Maaseh Yadeinu Konanehu. Rabbi Abba Amar Bika Matar Tane Nan Dekucha Perifu Koma Diaved Leela Witata Kola Ihu Kishot Yovada Dikshot Belay lach mila bialma divae barnash ledachia leya minea ulan hagabea kalana dehakulu ovada dikshot inun wikola itzterich bialma. We're now going to scan the 72 names of God. And the 72 names from the Tzaddikim. The Tzaddikim who left today, which is Purim, the 14th day of Adar, Rav Tzvi Hirsch Kedodnover of Vilna and Frankfurt, Rabbi Yosef Lefer of Pittsburgh, known as the Tzaddikat Yosef, Rabbi Chaim Kamil, and the eighth verse of the Anna B'Koach we say in a whisper.
Jack.
Jack. Welcome, Jack. We're in the middle. We've already started.
Yeah, I know. Thanks.
So before we start the reading of the Megillah, I'd like to express a couple of things that people may want to know. One is that in a Kabbalistic reading of the Megillah, there are no groggers. There are no noise makers. I'm going to ask people to please mute their phones because I'm getting some feedback by pressing star 6. Thank you. There are no groggers or noisemakers because the idea, when we hear the name Haman or Haman, we utilize one of the 72 names of God, the eighth name, Kaf He Taf, which is essentially a laser-like light beam that eliminates all negativity. So when we hear the name Haman, we concentrate, we visualize that name of Kaf He Taf, rather than using noise, which according to the Kabbalah has no real effect in eliminating negativity. Also, before we read, I'd like to give you some information about the Megillah, which really doesn't apply in this case, but if you're ever in a public reading in a synagogue, only one person at a time may read the Megillah, although others tend to read out loud as well because they're following along in their own. But when they do that, it makes it difficult for everyone else to hear the reader. So it's mentioned that only one person can read it at a time. And although the Book of Esther is not strictly speaking considered a prophetic work, the sages were all agreed that it was written by Esther and Mordechai through Ruach HaKodesh, Holy Spirit. And the text of this deeply veiled allegory is laden with layer upon layer of meaning and allusions. Where in the Torah itself do we find an allusion to Esther? In the verse, "And I shall surely hide," the word is Esther, "my face on that day." The face of God is his revealed presence. Esther alludes to the concealment of his presence in exile as a result of Israel's sins. Yet the story of Esther proves that even when his presence is concealed, God is in complete control of everything. The revelation of God's power through the miracle of Purim came about in the merit of the Tzaddik Mordechai. And where in the Torah do we find an allusion to Mordechai? In the pure mirror of the holy anointing oil made by Moses, which in Hebrew is Mar Dror, literally means master of freedom. And in the Aramaic translation of the Torah, the words are Meira Dechia, which is the same letters as Mordechai. With the killing of Nebuchadnezzar's son or grandson, Belshazzar, and the fall of Babylon to Darius the Mede and his son-in-law, Cyrus, king of Persia, the focus of power shifted to their twin empires of Media and Persia, centered in the western regions of the present-day Iran. With the collapse of Babylon and the consolidation of the Persian Empire, many of the exiles from Judea, including Mordechai and his orphan protege Esther, or Hadassah, moved to Shushan, which is the capital. According to the dating system of the Midrash Seder Olam, the fall of Babylon took place in the year 3389. Exactly 70 years after Nebuchadnezzar rose to power. Even the greatest tzaddikim were confused as to why the temple was not then rebuilt, since Jeremiah had apparently prophesied that God would punish Babylon and restore the people to Jerusalem after 70 years. They did not realize that the temple itself could not be rebuilt until 70 years after its destruction, which had taken place 18 years after Nebuchadnezzar rose to power. This is also consistent with the idea of what happened with the building of the golden calf, which was based on the children of Israel miscounting what Moses had told them by one day. The redemption prophesied by Jeremiah was the first wave of returning exiles under Zerubbabel, which took place in the first year of the reign of Cyrus, with his encouragement. But Cyrus reigned no more than 2 years, And when Ahasuerus ascended to the throne of Persia, royal support for the rebuilding of Jerusalem ceased as a result of letters of denunciation sent to the new king by the returning Jews' adversaries, who, according to rabbinic tradition, were the sons of Haman. Ahasuerus's feast, at which he brought out the vessels captured by the Babylonians from the temple in Jerusalem, was intended to celebrate the uneventful passing of the prophesied date of the restoration, which the Gentiles took as a sign that it would never take place. The thwarting of the rebuilding of Jerusalem and the temple undoubtedly generated the darkest despair among the exiles in Shushan, many of whom reacted by allowing themselves to fall into laxity in their Torah observance, as exemplified by their participation in the feast that Ahasuerus threw for 6 months. The deepening Jewish assimilation was itself the fulfillment of God's warning in the Torah that I shall surely hide my face on that day. But despite the fact that his Jewish brothers were running to join the Gentiles in their celebrations in Shushan, Mordechai refused to participate in the consumption of trade food. Just as his saintly counterpart Daniel had refused in Babylon, Daniel, the purity of the food we ingest is the foundation of the purity of mind and soul. Through Mordecai's outstanding sanctity and thought of Esther, they were worthy of one of the greatest miracles of all time. Everything was completely turned around. The Hebrew word is v'nachap chuch, with the result that the Jews fulfilled and took upon themselves and their seed. The sages taught that the phrase ki yimu v'yikiblu, themselves and their seed, implies that the Jews fulfilled, the Hebrew word is ki yimu, in the days of Ahasuerus, what they had already received, kiblu, the Torah which they received at Sinai. Out of despair and assimilation came a national return to the ancestral Torah, and the second temple was built shortly afterwards. The Purim miracle took place in the 13th year of the reign of Ahasuerus, which was the year 3405, while the second temple was built in 3408. And just coincidentally, the modern state of Israel was founded in 5708. This great salvation was only revealed at the very climax of the story of Purim, which began with the most terrible darkness in which Mordechai and Esther had only their perfect faith in Hashem to sustain them. In the book of Esther, more than anywhere else in the Bible, the hand of Hashem is concealed to the point that the very name of Hashem does not even appear explicitly anywhere in the scroll. It appears only in ways that are not discernible to the casual reader. For example, the initial or concluding Hebrew letters of certain phrases spell out various names of God. At least 40 such cases are listed in the Kabbalistic Kavanot. Although the Megillah appears to be talking about King Ahasuerus, the text frequently refers simply to HaMelech, the king. The sages teach that this term simultaneously refers to the physical Ahasuerus, while also alluding to the King of Kings, Hashem. The story of Purim apparently unfolds like a completely natural series of events, but as it develops, it becomes visible that each event was flawlessly planned and designed by the ruler of all the world to teach a great lesson in how his providence governs every single detail of creation. How often the most enormous consequences flow from a single slight gesture or movement that nobody could have imagined would bring so much in its train, in its following. The essence of the story of Purim is nothing less than Hashem's war against evil from generation to generation. For Hashem will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. And Amalek is the embodiment of the evil of the primordial serpent, glorying in cruelty, bloodshed, and murder of men, women, and children, accompanied by the amassing of God-denying power and wealth. The extirpation of Amalek, who had perpetrated a barbaric attack on the newly freed people of Israel immediately after their exodus from Egypt, was the second of the three mitzvot they were instructed to fulfill after their entry into the land of Israel. The first was to appoint a king. He was to lead the people in fulfilling the second of these mitzvot by making war against Amalek, which is by making war against doubt, personal doubt. This was the necessary preparation for the fulfillment of the third, which is the building of the temple in Jerusalem. The first king of Israel, the Benjaminite King Saul, was intended to fulfill the second commandment, second mitzvah, by wiping out all of the Amalekites. However, Saul failed because he allowed the people to leave the Amalekite king Agag alive, and the latter succeeded in fathering a child even after his father, his capture, before being hacked to death by the prophet Samuel. Because of Saul's failure, Samuel told him, "God has torn the kingship over Israel from you today, and he has given it to your companion, who is better than you." This was David from the tribe of Judah. It was Mordecai and Esther who brought about the tikkun, the repair, of this terrible flaw left by King Saul in the form of Agag's descendant, Haman, who tried to destroy the entire Jewish people. Just like Saul, Mordecai was from the tribe of Benjamin. And moreover, he was the descendant of Shimei, who had come out to deliver the worst curses against King David when the latter fled from Jerusalem to escape Absalom. When David returned to Jerusalem after the thwarting of Absalom's rebellion, he spared Shimei, who was able to bear a son before eventually being killed by King Solomon. Not only did Mordecai and Esther rectify Saul's flaw through the downfall of the Amalekite, Haman, they also rectified the breach between the tribes of Benjamin and Judah. Because Mordecai the Benjaminite is specifically called Mordecai HaYehudi, the Judean. To repair the malchut, the kingship, having been taken from King Saul and given to your companion who was better than you. And the royal title of queen was taken from Vashti, and the king will give her Malchut to her companion that is better than she. Thus it was Saul's descendant, the royal Esther, became queen. The tikkun, the repair, accomplished by Mordechai and Esther, is expressed in the language of Kabbalah by Rabbi Moshe Chaim Luzzatto, the Ramchal. In the days of the exile in Babylon, the Shekhinah was turned away, back to back. It was necessary to build her in order for her to return face to face. This is accomplished through Abba and Ima, which enter into her and build her. Now, Yesod of Abba is long and goes out from Yesod of Ima, and it enters into Yesod of Zeranpin as well, unlike Yesod of Ima, which ends at the chest. Even in the Nukva, the Shekhinah, Yesod of Abba also reaches her Yesod. And indeed here, her Yesod is short, so that the part of Yesod in Abba that is clothed therein protrudes even more. It was from this aspect that the soul of Mordechai, the Tzaddik, was drawn. This took place immediately before the redemption. The wicked Haman wanted to thwart the building of the Nukva and to thwart Mordechai. Mordechai received an illumination from the above-mentioned aspect, which is his root, which had already been in existence for a very long time. And Haman, who was jealous of him, wanted to thwart him and thwart the whole repair. But the Holy One, blessed be He, performed a miracle, and the Mochin, the upper three Sephirot, began to return to Zeranpin. This is the secret of the sleep of that the king pled. This did not negate Mordechai, because the illumination which he had attained remained in all its strength. While Haman became weak and fell before him, so that he was unable to harm the Jews. Because the king of the universe was already aroused, Mordechai's illumination strengthened him and enabled him to accomplish a great feat of saving Israel. Esther is the Malchut, which was for Mordechai a daughter and a house, meaning a daughter and also a wife. Through the mystery of the repair of the Nukva. Lovers of Rabbi Nachman will be delighted to know that Esther has the numerical value of 661, which is the same value as the phrase Tikkun HaKalali, the complete remedy, which consists of 10 psalms. We're now about to start the reading, and we will say three blessings. I will say them in Hebrew, and then I will read them in English. But please say Amen after both the Hebrew and the English. Baruch atah Adonai Yohei Wahei Eloheinu Melech HaOlam Asher kiddushanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu al mikra megillah. Blessed are you, Hashem, our King of the universe, who has sanctified us with his mitzvot and commanded us concerning the reading of the Megillah. Baruch atah Adonai Yehovah Eloheinu Melech haolam she'asah nisim la'avoteinu bayamim ha'hem bazman hazeh. Blessed are you, Lord of our... Blessed are you, Hashem, King of the universe, who performed miracles for our forefathers in those days at this time. Baruch atah Adonai Yehovahe Eloheinu Melech haolam Shehechayanu V'kiyamanu V'higiyanu Lazman hazeh. Blessed are you, Hashem, King of the universe, who has granted us life, sustained us, and enabled us to reach this occasion.
We have Oh, Please,
Kafeta. Coffee tough.
I shall be adored, but he promised.
Chapter 6.
Hallelujah. Eruvim Ve'Ameh Ameh Me'Vot Me'eh
Small talk.
Oh, my God.
Shvar Zechariah, El Kol HaYehudim, Asher Mechol Medimon, Amelech HaKash Merosh, HaKerubim, Merarechukim, Rechayim, Alehem, Uriyot Kuzim,
Yeah. Shalom. You all. Thank you.